All right, well, let's get together in Psalm 23 tonight, and we'll look at verse number 5, or the first portion of number 5, verse 5b, and we'll look at the latter part of verse 5 next week. The Bible tells us in Psalm 23, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. And we'll look at just that first portion tonight, Thou preparest a table before me. The Lord got my attention right there. Table means food. Got my attention real quick when I was reading this. But not only does He prepare a table for us, but also in the presence of our enemy. It makes no difference what's going on around us. The Lord can just fix things the way they need to be. Now, some of the finest sheep country in the world is found in southern Europe, and Michelle and I had the privilege of living in southern Bavaria for several years, and it is spectacular. And even here in the western United States, in Europe, the term for the high mountain or the high country is Alps or Alps land. And here in the United States, it is called a mesa or table land, especially here in some of our part of our region. Possibly this is what the psalmist had in mind as he penned those words, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. The word table refers to the spread of a fine meal, at least it does to me, but a spread of a fine meal. The setting is one of provision. Think about that. The setting here is one of provision. Even in the face of our enemies, the Lord provides and makes a way. And so often we're so concerned about what am I going to do? And sometimes we don't even give the Lord a chance to work, and sometimes we react a little quick. Notice with me point number one tonight. The table is prepared for our safety. He prepares a table in the presence of our enemy. It's for our safety. Letter A, because some things are dangerous. Kind of simple, but think about it. Some things are dangerous. In the high tablelands, even though everything looks good, not everything is good. And I learned as a young man visiting my grandmother in a little further east Tennessee, coming up from Florida, that all those pretty green leaves and oak stuff, all of it isn't good. Some of it leads to a lot of scratching and Camelina lotion. And just because it looks good doesn't mean that it is. You know, there are plants that appear as beautiful vegetation, and yet they spell danger for the flock, and especially for the new lamb. In the same way, in our lifetime, in realizing young Christians, the young lambs, there's so much danger for them, it's important for us to mentor, to encourage, and to be there to warn them and to help them out. Some of these plants are, as I mentioned about the poison ivy, are disagreeable, causing stomach problems and problems with digestion for the young lambs. But some of them are much more serious than that and can even be poisonous. And if the sheep eats even a little of these plants, they can cause the animal to become very physically ill, even paralyzed, and making them easy prey for predators. And dear friends, we need to be careful that our diet is heavy on this and less on worldly things, because that leads to the prey of Satan, who will capitalize on us. Because believe me, I know my daughter, every time I talk to her, and the one that runs a gym, is looking to franchise a gym in Omaha, always asking me, well, Dad, if you're not getting off the weight, the two questions for you, are you eating right and are you exercising? And of course, the eating right doesn't bother me. The exercising doesn't bother me a little bit. But anyway, she said, you make sure you get more protein. And dear friends, the best protein we can have, spiritually speaking, is found here in this word. And if we're getting more of the world and more of the flesh being fed, just like these young lambs, if we're not careful, it will also affect us and make us available or prey to Satan. See, as always, it's only the unwavering work of the shepherd that can turn the table into a banquet table for the sheep. And I beg, I really plead with the Lord to help me in my study and preparation that I can lay out a banquet table when we have our services on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, to challenge you, encourage you, and to help you in some way in this world that we live in. Now, by going to the field before the flock is ever even placed in there to graze or to enjoy this table, the good shepherd can clear out many of the dangers of life that wait for these sheep. And that's why it's so important in our church not just for the pastor and deacons, but the men. That's why it's so important that we pray for our men as we do on Sundays. But it also should be a thing through the week, as we need to make sure as we go out that we are protecting our church family. We are protecting one another, praying for one another, lifting one another up. And dear friends, Jesus is our good shepherd. And he's provided those things that we need if we will take advantage and listen. See, it's him and him alone that makes it possible for us to enjoy the good pastures. John chapter 10 and verse number 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Problem is that so many young Christians are looking for a pasture in the wrong places. And that's why it's so important to be able to attend some of these men's fellowships and ladies' fellowships and church services and things that we do that we might encourage one another. And it's important for us men and us ladies, mature ladies, to mentor when we have opportunity others. And often, it's not a matter of physical age, it's the spiritual age that needs to be concerned about the mentoring and receiving the mentoring. Letter B, not only because some things are dangerous, but because some things are deadly. Some things are deadly. There's a lot of danger lurking out there for the young sheep that the shepherds to be responsible for. There's a lot of danger out there lurking for the Christian, even not even just the young, but even the older, more mature Christian. We need to be on guard. But there's also things that are deadly. See, the wise shepherd knows that being on the tableland exposes his flock to the possibility of attack from deadly animals. I've said it before. The ship is safe in the ocean as long as the ocean is not in the ship. And we are safe in this world that we live in as we're careful not allowing the world in us. And dear friends, let me tell you, there's been days I've been out and about and coming home and felt like I needed to take a shower, not because of the weather, but because of what I felt like I saw, was exposed to, or been around, that we wish we could just kind of wash it off. And the best way of that is through the Word of God. We've got wolves and coyotes, cougars and bears. I saw one of these critters today driving in. And other predator animals that would be gladly to strike the flock at any time. And dear friends, we must be reminded the devil doesn't run around with a red jumpsuit with a pitchfork and a pointed tail. He could be very much so very appealing looking, or he may use to cause us problems. These ravenous enemies will oftentimes stalk the sheep from a distance, waiting for the animal to get separated from the rest of the flock. Dear friends, Satan is patient. He is very patient. And we can't run around with other believers at our side all the time. And that's why it is important for us to develop our own personal walk and relationship with the Lord and not ride the coattails of other people or other friends or family members or whatever the case may be. It's also in reference to these ravenous enemies. They may even try to charge the flock, getting the group to divide and stampede. The devil does the same thing in the local church, doesn't he? That's why it's important that we're on guard and we're encouraging to one another, as well as your pastor, your shepherd, because it's unbelievable the things that Satan does and what the world does that we live in today. I could tell you stories throughout history, a few things of modern as well, but throughout history of things and plots that people did or tried to accomplish to destroy a man of God, to destroy a church, to destroy a family. Not saying that to fear. I'm saying is, just like it is provided here in encouragement, Psalm 23, we can apply it to our lives as well, that aspect of knowing the Lord is there, but so are the predators. Again, it's only the watchful eye of the shepherd that keeps the flock safe and resting easily. I realize sometimes that I may preach a message, and you feel like, that was a good reminder, but I don't know that I was really learned anything new today, but I was reminded. Well, I hope you feel like, well, praise the Lord, it's a good reminder, I need to be on guard. I know when I sit at the table to eat, there's always salt and pepper and sometimes sweet paprika nearby to use to put on the food. But you know what? Sometimes I don't need it. But it's there. It's available to be used. There may be times we feel like I don't know that I necessarily needed this message today, the study today, but it sure is a good reminder for me that I might share with somebody else, or I could have it there as a fresher reminder. And dear friends, we just don't know what's going to happen when we walk out these doors. We know what's happened Monday morning. We get up and to start our routine and our day. Psalm 22 and verse 13. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a raven and roaring lion. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Dear friends, remember two important things about the adversary, the devil. There are Christians that believe Satan is everywhere, and they live in constant fear. There's no need. But that's one of the views. 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but the power and love, but of love and of a sound mind. There's nothing wrong with having the fear of awareness, but not that fear of trembling that you're afraid to go out and try anything. Well, hey, if I go out and serve the Lord today, I'm going to have a target on my back. Well, yet that's not a reason not to serve the Lord. That's not a reason not to be a blessing and encouragement to someone else. And then there's others that think Satan is no big deal, and the Bible also has a word for them as well. There are folks, the devil is a big deal, but he's not as big as my God. And I have the tools that I need to face that adversary. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and 11. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. See, and the devil doesn't care as long as we become ineffective for the Lord. We can do anything we want. We can stand boldly against Satan. And we're on guard. We're aware. We're not going to let him interfere with me. Okay, he may put that battle down because you're so busy worried about him that you're not doing anything for the other guy. Excuse me, for the Lord. We're so busy fighting Satan. Folks, not that we need to turn our back. We need to have a balance. And we need to understand in our service, yeah, there are some things that are deadly, but we serve a great God and we know because of these things, that we may be in battle with Satan, we also know that our Lord is blessing. I tell you, I've learned for the years to where I got to the point where when Satan comes knocking, disrupting, I get a little excited. Preacher, what do you mean? I said, well, number one, I must be doing something right. Number one, so I need to be right. I just need to keep doing it and find out what God wants to do. Because, see, God wants to do something, and Satan wants me to quit, so God won't do what God wants to do. Let her see. Because one thing is desirous. Not only do we see these things as being dangerous and deadly, but desirous. Let's go over a couple of Psalms in Psalm 27, verses 1 through 4. Psalm 27, verse 1. And the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The deacons, said the old preacher. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Dear friends, it's that simple. The more God's people fall in love with him, notice here on your handout, the more God's people fall in love with him, the more they will experience victory in their lives. Folks, sometimes I think we win some victories and we don't even recognize that we're winning. We're so caught up. And, you know, God blesses us in spite of ourselves. I mean, how often do we feel like, you know, I sure didn't deserve that. But he does. And sometimes we just don't even see what God's doing. We're going to take every opportunity we have to praise him and tell somebody what God, Lord, is doing or has done for us and through us and get excited. Yeah, the dangers are out there. The things are out there. But that should not prevent us. We look at all the statistics. If I wanted to let any statistic, if I wanted to fear and was going to be overrun and overfeared about things that are out there going on, I'd never leave my house. I wouldn't drive a car. I wouldn't get on an airplane. I mean, there's so many things out there. And I wouldn't eat peanut butter or use Sweet and Low because they killed rats in the laboratory. So at least that's what they said. But not together, but I'm thinking the two individually. But anyway, you know what I mean. We shouldn't allow fear to hinder us or keeping us from moving and serving the Lord or have a fear of having a target on our back. Number two, the table is prepared for our enjoyment. Wait, it wonderful to serve the Lord. Man, every time we get together and have a fellowship over the fellowship hall or come into the church, folks, I don't know about you, there's nowhere that I'd rather be tonight than right here. Nowhere. At all. I mean, I've got family in town, but on Wednesday night, I want to be here with my church family. Sunday morning, I want to be here. Sunday night, I want to be here. And there's times I we're not careful, we'll take it for granted. And like Miss Michelle was saying the other day, that, man, I know it hurts, I know I'm uncomfortable, but she said, sweetheart, I miss my church family. I think seeing them and the encouragement, being in a song service, will override any discomfort that I have, and I could use some encouragement. And that's because we enjoy. Remember, that table is prepared for our enjoyment. Look at verse 5 again. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Letter A, because the shepherd has done the work. He has done the work, therefore we can enjoy. Letter B, because the shepherd has provided the food. Letter C, because the shepherd has given himself. Folks, I don't know about you. When I sit down for a meal, especially when Michelle has cooked and been in, I mean, I can't wait till she's fully back on her feet and fix one of my favorite meals. And I don't know if it'll be meatloaf or steak and gravy and potatoes. But I know when I sit down, man, I enjoy it. We know sometimes I cook. And it could be just as good, but for this example, let's pretend that it is just as good. I said pretend. But, you know, I would enjoy it, but it's so enjoyable. I mean, Michelle gets a lot of joy seeing people enjoy the food that she's prepared more than the preparation or eating it herself. And it's the same way with the Lord when we think about it. He has done the work. He has provided the food. He has given himself. He's done so much so that we can sit down there in verse 5 because he has prepared the table for my enemies. We can sit down and just enjoy it and enjoy the fellowship, enjoy the time together with our family, enjoy the time together with our church family. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, don't get me wrong. I enjoy food no matter who fixes it. But there's something about sitting down when we can sit down and everyone and enjoy it together. It's nice when you go on vacation. Michelle enjoys when we go on vacation time. She goes, you know, I do enjoy cooking, but it's been so nice this week to be served and just enjoy. And that's how it is with our Lord. He has prepared a table, even in the presence of our enemy, just for us. It was Jesus who put aside the glory of heaven for us. It was Jesus who left his position and his privileges to suffer so that we could have life. It was him who suffered deprivation and ridicule and false accusations and rumors for us as he prepared that table. It was Jesus who was branded a glutton, a drunkard, and a friend of sinners, and yet still pressed on for us. And it was Jesus who suffered the agony of the cross so we could have the blessings of life. Boy, isn't it wonderful to know that the Lord has prepared? The Bible says, I have not seen, there's not heard of what the Lord has for us in heaven. Boy, folks, I here lately as we watch the news, what's going on, I'm like, Lord Jesus, come quickly. I'm telling you, but I just can't imagine. And we had a discussion the other night, me and Michelle and our daughter, excitement about heaven, what it was going to be like. And I was listening to the girls talking. And folks, I don't think they have the imagination to think about what it's like. I mean, it's just going to be so awesome, so incredible. I mean, no tears, no sorrow, no grief, no pain, none of those things. John chapter 10 and verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Let's remember each and every time that we sit down to study the Word of God, to read the Word of God, and remember what it says there in verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me. And not just any table, but also a table, even in the presence of mine enemies. So no matter know what's going around me, our service on worry on this past Sunday, no matter what's going on around me, we just need to remember the Lord, everything that's going on may be in chaos, but here's the table of my Lord prepares in the midst of my enemies to distract me from all the cares and concerns, to know he's prepared for me, he loves me, he cares for me, he's done all that he has done. And folks, it's nothing wrong with taking it personal and say, he did it for me. The reality is for all of us, but hey, there's nothing wrong. Hey, he did it for me. If that doesn't encourage you or keep you from worry, I don't know what will. But folks, he has prepared the feast, the table, and even in the presence of our enemy, we can lean upon the shepherd because he cares. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and thank you for your goodness and the blessings and joy of service and of fellowship. And Father, thank you for the wonderful table that you have set before us. Lord, our cup runneth over. And Lord, help us to remember when we're worried, we're stressed, we're overwhelmed, we're going through some difficulties, just to be reminded of this one first phrase of verse 5 of Psalm 23, that you have prepared a table, even in the very presence of mine enemies, that I might be distracted from all the cares in the world, that I might sit down and commune and have fellowship with you, all because you love us that much. Father, thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Lord bless you. As always, God loves you. His preacher loves you. If I can be helped to you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. Let's pray for revival. Let's pray for our services on Sunday. God bless you.